The Service to America medals honor federal employees who go above and beyond their job descriptions in serving the public. For the next few months, Federal News Radio is speaking to those finalists. His colleagues call him a can-do person who uses the latest technology to communicate with environmental officials and the public to advance the cause of clean water. As a senior scientist at the Environmental Protection Agency's Watershed Branch, Doug Norton has led projects to protect the nation's waterways for more than two decades. And again, he's a finalist in the Citizen Services category of the SAMMYs, and he joins us now. Doug, good morning.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
Well, as someone who's done a lot of paddling on the waterways around here, I want to thank you for letting me see the pebbles on the bottom of a lot of them.
It's a lot more than anything I do, Tom, but thanks for – I'm always glad to hear that appreciation. There's a lot of people working on this.
So what inspired you to this type of work?
Well, I really believe that when you have an issue like the condition of our lakes, streams, and waterways, that's something that really weaves its way into the fabric of people's existence. The important thing is that people understand the importance of them to their communities and whether or not there are actually any problems that need to be addressed. Unfortunately, most of the information that's been around for decades has been in scientific databases, which have been difficult to get into and full of jargon, and just very difficult to find out what's going on in my local creek or what's going on in the lake that we go to for our vacations. So rising to that challenge, then I had a terrific interdisciplinary team, and we put together something that kind of blends watershed science, emerging technology, and public outreach, and we actually really transformed a new access point to one of EPA's largest water databases so that people could not come in on a scientific database at the national level, but could actually come in at a very local level, get instant information in plain English, in words they could understand.
I want to ask you about some of those projects, but first, it seems like we read in news reports or hear something that makes us concerned about our waterways, and yet citizens might not know if there's anything they can do about it. Are you trying to share to people things that might incite them to action as opposed to just knowing that their water isn't that clean?
Well, part of it is just having the basic knowledge. But one of the things that we often hear back is that people ask, what can I do? And could anything I do actually have an effect? Now, the interesting thing is that whereas if it were 30, 40 years ago or more, then most of our problems were, in fact, from large point source pollution coming from wastewater treatment plants, factories, et cetera, before we got better controls on them, then really the major part of the remaining work is about polluted runoff coming across the landscape where we all live. So really, we all do contribute, even as one of millions of people in a given region. We all do contribute somewhat, and there is something that everybody can do. So in How's My Waterway, the product that we'll probably be talking about most today, then we've included a section called What You Can Do in every one of the 34 water pollution summary write-ups that are in there, that are the basis for the information that's retrieved for people. So there is information in there. There are things people can do.
So how does it work? Suppose I come across a stream or a river and I want to know what's going on with it. From the public standpoint, what is it that they can encounter through the site you built?
Well, this is an interesting thing about the design. We used something that for the computer folks who are listening in, then we used responsive design, which meant that although we were building something that is essentially a website, then it could function as an app as well on mobile devices. So someone can actually be out there and come up on a lake or stream or river and just ask, what's the condition of my waterways around where I am right now? The first one that comes up in the search box is the closest one to the center of where the user is.
So there's a geographical positioning element in all of this.
That's right. There's GPS usage that helps you locate, and then it's about a 10-by-10-mile search box that brings back a list of waters within that search box. And it starts very, very simple and clear and just says, These are polluted, these are unpolluted, and these have not been assessed at all. And then you go and you choose one of the polluted ones, for example, and you ask, okay, I want a little more information, and it'll come up with a list of the types of pollutants, gives a very brief, very plain English description, including where it comes from, what kinds of things the pollutant does to the environment, whether or not there are any human health risks associated with it, and what are the kind of things that citizens can do to help and not be part of the problem.
How often do you update it, or how recent is the data that you're using here?
Well, this is an interesting question, and let me be absolutely clear about that, too. One of the things that we have to do in order to have something that is a national database is that we work with every state on their information that they send in under the Clean Water Act, which is sent in every 2 years. So this is not a source of information that comes in with information about, for example, last week's oil spill or something like that. That is really something that would exceed all possibilities of costs to have something that responsive on a national basis. But the issue is really that when you have water pollution problems in a waterway, then quite often they really do take several years to deal with and to get them to go away. So we don't have too much concern about the fact that this is information that comes in once every couple of years, because it is something that on a time frame of change, it does take quite a while to work with.
We're speaking with Doug Norton. He's a senior scientist with the EPA's Watershed Branch and a SAMMY's Metals finalist. And moving upstream, no pun intended, from the work on the rivers themselves and that app, you also have developed the Watershed Academy, which is a platform for web-based training and so forth to help people that can have some control over what happens at a waterway. Tell us about that.
Well, the nomination that I received for the SAMMY was really based on this common thread of the intersection of science and emerging technology and public outreach. And 19 years ago, when I started the Watershed Academy, the Watershed Academy web in particular, I received an assignment to go ahead and work up a one-week-long live training course about watershed science. Instead of that, then I managed to convince my managers to support doing something kind of experimental at the time, which was really online training. And now you see online training is really everywhere, so it would not be a stretch to talk people into that now. Watershed Academy has on it dozens of modules that teach people the basics of watersheds and how they function. A watershed, I should really define, is all the land area around any lake, river, or stream that drains into that water body. So if you think about that, then we really all live in some watershed, or maybe a number of watersheds, and therefore everything we do that comes down and runs off in the rainfall into that water body is potentially of concern. So this idea is something that really is of concern not only to people in my profession, but also to citizens if they really want their waterways to be healthy.
And you also created a diagnostic tool, probably more for experts and those who work with water, but the Recovery Potential Screening website. And I'm just wondering, with this or with any of these, have you done tests to see whether people are actually improving waterways because of the information that they have gotten from these tools?
Yes, we've been working with feedback on all of these. I collected on the Watershed Academy hundreds of comments from people all over the world just for that example, that in fact we had people earn the certificate program in 51 countries and all 50 states. Quite often when they wrote in to describe completion, then they'd include a few paragraphs of feedback. In the case of recovery potential screening, then that, as you say, yes, it is a little more technical tool, and it does help people will systematically compare the differences among different waters in order to take limited resources and use them most wisely where they most are most likely to actually have some success. What we're hearing back in that case, now there are 19 states actually that are using the tool, and we'll soon have it available in all 50 states. But what really excites me is that I'm seeing individual states interacting with their local community groups on comparing their interests in priorities and places that they're very interested in working on together to restore. So again, in the first place, it helps to get some improved restoration success because of the fact that you've got a systematic comparison tool. But then again, it's inspiring more dialogue and what I call discussion support among the local and the state people that are working together.
I guess one of the keys here, and you can tell me, you know, how this works, is that maybe people don't realize when you say watershed, you could be talking three states away, affecting a river right next door to you.
Absolutely. I still remember when I lived in upstate New York and I found out I was living in the Chesapeake Bay watershed. It was a real surprise.
And so that means that local groups really need to somehow partner on up the chain so that there is that regional approach. So can the tools help with that whole effort?
I certainly believe they can. Anything that just adds that extra touch of making things understandable not only to scientists working together, but people who are in other fields or people who just don't have an advanced education to all get an idea of how they can be on the same page, then things have definitely had an improved chance of being more successful when we go that kind of route. If we don't make things clear to as many people as possible, then we leave a lot open to interpretation, and I fear we pay the consequences when understanding is not widespread.
And Doug, you mentioned that your Watershed Academy attracts students from all over the world. Do you consider your jurisdiction, so to speak, a global one?
Oh, definitely, and I truly enjoy that. I think we are in such a sweet spot right now regarding technology and communication. Ironically, as it gets more more complex, the opportunity is there to make things simpler and to reach more and more people. So I think it's a very exciting time in history.
And if someone wanted that app, where would they go to get it?
Okay. One of the things about, as I did use the term app, it's what you'd call a mobile web app. It's not a native app, so you don't find it on the App Store. What I would say would be simply Google How's My Waterway and go to the site, and under Help, then it says how to get the app. And what you can do is download just an icon for your phone home screen. And then anytime you walk up to a waterway, you're all ready to try it out.
Doug Norton is a senior scientist with the EPA's Watershed Branch. Doug, thank you and congratulations.
Thank you very much, Tom and Emily.